Good evening. Good evening. I appreciate y'all having me back. It's always good to come back to Reidsville, see so many familiar faces that I haven't seen in a while. And so I do thank you for the opportunity to come back. If you'll turn me to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. We're going to be beginning in verse 22. And just so I remember, what time do we end again?
8 o'clock.
Okay, cool. All right. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. It says, "On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him.' Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.' Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Jump down to verse 41. "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jump down to verse 47. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that you may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.' The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat this flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.'" Jump down to verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" And so we have this account here in John chapter 6, right on the heels of Christ feeding the 5,000. We read in the beginning of chapter 6 that Christ has fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children who were there. And so we see Christ performs this great miracle in verses 1 through 14 as he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he multiplies them and feeds this large crowd, this large multitude. And we see that the people are so awestruck by this miracle that Christ has performed that they are ready to make him king on the spot. We read in verse 14 or verse 15, it says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And so we see that the people were ready to make Christ king there on the spot. And so Christ departs. We know that the disciples go to cross the sea. Christ goes to the mountain to pray, and he meets his disciples about halfway across the sea. He comes to them walking on the water, and they go to the other side. And so we pick up in verse 22, the crowds come along, and they're looking for Christ, and they can't find him. And so they're trying to put the pieces together. They're like, well, his disciples left, but he didn't go with them. Where did he go? We can't find him. So they get in the boats, and they go looking for him. And they find him on the other side of the sea, and they say, how did you get here? And we see that Christ ignores their question, and he goes right to the point. He says, you're not seeking me because of the miracle that you saw. You're not seeking me because of the great works that I did. You're seeking me because you ate and were filled. And so we see that Christ is pointing straight to the heart of the matter. He says, you're not seeking me for the spiritual nourishment. You're not seeking me to learn more of God. You're seeking me because I fed you bread, because you got a free meal. And so Christ begins to explain to them and to teach them about the bread of life, the true bread, that which is himself, and how they are not to labor for the temporary things of this world, for just the physical, tangible things, the physical bread, but they are to labor for spiritual bread, for himself, for the bread of life, which when they partake of it, they will hunger no more. And so we see that Christ begins to teach them, and you know, it's so typical of the human nature to long only for the things of the physical things, the tangible things of life, things that we can see and touch and smell. You know, we know very well how much effort we will put forth for some free food. You know, the Israelites, they got in the boat, they come looking for Christ, and Christ says, you're only following me because you got the free food, because you ate the loaves and were filled. And, you know, we'll go through a lot of trouble for some free food, won't we? You see a new restaurant open up, they're offering free pizzas, free sandwiches, whatever it may be, and we'll stand in line for 2 hours to get that free food. We'll stand in line for 1 hour to get food that we have to pay for because it tastes good, because we want it. But how often do we go through that much trouble, or will we put forth that much effort to labor after spiritual things? How often do we labor in that way to be fed spiritually? How often do we stand, would we stand in line for 2 hours to hear the Word of God preached? You know, and it's so typical of human nature to go after the physical and to ignore the spiritual, to not put any value on the spiritual. And so we see these Jews are following in the ways of their fathers, the children of Israel, as they would complain about the manna that God was giving them, and they would long for the food of Egypt. They would long for the things of this world. And so we have this nature inside of us to ignore the spiritual and to go after the physical, to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And so we see that Christ begins to teach them concerning the true bread, which of course is himself, that came down from heaven. Bread that leads to eternal life. And so we see that Christ is teaching them several things. First, he is showing them the fulfillment of the picture found in the manna of the Old Testament. We'll see that Christ explains to them that, yes, your fathers ate the manna in the Old Testament, but I am the true bread which came down from heaven. We see that he is proclaiming to them the way of eternal life. We see that they must partake of this true and living bread. And anyone who eats of this bread will not die, will have eternal life. And he is showing them how they are to be sustained spiritually. You know, Christ is not only a life giver, but he is our life sustainer. When it comes to our spiritual life in him, we don't partake of Christ just one time, do we? We don't say, okay, I'm saved, and now I don't need any more of him. It's a continual process. We abide in him. He abides with us, and we grow. We fellowship with him. We feed on his word. We pray. We fellowship with him. We grow that relationship, and that is how we grow spiritually. And so he not only gives us eternal life, but he is the sustainer. He's the source of our life. And so Christ begins to teach them. In verse 26, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see and believe you?" And so Christ begins to explain to them about this bread that he will give them, that he who eats of it will never hunger. And so we see the Jews begin to question. They're like, well, how can we earn it? What are the works that we must do? How do we do the works of God? And Christ says, no. The works of God is to believe on him whom he sent. It's not about the works. You can't earn the bread. It is believing. You must believe on him whom he sent. So the Jews continue on. They say, well, what sign will you perform for us that we may see it and believe you? If I was Christ, I'd want to smack them at this point. It was just yesterday that he fed 5,000 men with, these are the same people that he just fed them yesterday with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just yesterday. And they were so in awe of the miracle that they were ready to put him on the throne. And then today, when they're like, well, what sign will you show us that we may believe? I said, if I was Christ, I'd want to just smack him. Where were you yesterday? Did you not remember? But we see that Christ doesn't respond in that way. We see that Christ begins to explain to them that he is the true bread of life. But we see the attitude of the Jews as it begins to change. You know, they're all excited to find Christ when they thought they were going to get some physical fulfillment out of him. But then when they realize that Christ is beginning to explain to them about spiritual things, their interest begins to die off. And we see, once again, our human nature. We begin to lose interest in spiritual things. We see the Jews' attitude begin to change. By 42, they're like, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? And we know his mother. We know his father. What's he talking about? He came down from heaven. They were ready to put him on the throne yesterday, but today they're quickly losing interest as he begins to teach them about spiritual things. And so we see the Jews say, what sign will you give us? They're like, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. We have Moses. We have the manna. What kind of bread do you offer that's better than that? You know, our fathers had this. This was the sign that was given to us by God. What do you offer us? What sign will you give us? And so we see that Christ responds in verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And so Christ begins to explain to them that he is the true bread that came down from heaven. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 16. As Christ begins to reference it, to compare himself to the manna, as he says, I am the true bread. I am the fulfillment of that picture, if you will, of the manna that came down from heaven, the bread that came down from heaven. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. We see the children of Israel are in the wilderness. It says, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also, Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him, and what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let each man take for those who are in his tent." And so we see that the Lord provides for the children of Israel. They cry out to the Lord. They complain, rather. And they say, "Oh, that we had died in Egypt. You brought us out here in the wilderness to starve us." And so the Lord says, "I will provide food for the children of Israel." So he gives them meat in the evening. He rains down quail. And in the morning, they have manna that comes down from heaven. And we see that the Israelites would be sustained by this manna for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. And so we see that every morning, the manna would come down. And every morning, the children of Israel would go out and they would gather the amount of manna that they needed for that day. If they gathered too much, the manna would rot, and what was left over was not usable. It would rot and it would go bad, and they couldn't eat it. And so only on the sixth day could they gather twice as much for the Sabbath. But they would gather exactly what they needed for that to sustain them for that day, and they would gather in the morning before the sun was hot and it would melt it away. And we see that they were sustained by this heavenly bread for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. And yet the manna was more than just a source of food for Israel. It was more than just sustenance. It was given to teach them and provide a lesson and a picture for us as well. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." And so the manna was given not only to sustain them physically, but to teach them humility, to teach them reliance upon the Lord. You know, every day for 40 years, the children relied solely upon the Lord for their provision. For 40 years. And every single day, the Lord provided. We know when Israel would complain and Israel would sin, we don't read one time when the manna didn't come for 40 years. And the children of Israel were sustained solely upon the provision of the Lord. They didn't have gardens. They didn't grow their own food. They didn't go out and hunt their own food. The Lord provided their food every day as they wandered in the wilderness. And they were taught to depend and to rely upon the Lord. He alone was their sustainer. There was no other source. If the Lord did not rain down manna from heaven, the children of Israel went hungry that day. And so we see that the Lord provided for them day by day. And we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, we see that it speaks of this. It says, "Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell." And in Psalm chapter 78, verse 22 says, "Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation, yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna on them to eat and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full." And so we see the Lord provided graciously for the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. They were sustained only on food from heaven. There was no earthly sustenance for them. The Lord sustained them by himself for those 40 years. And for 40 years, Israel, as far as is recorded, ate nothing earthly, if you will. It all came from the Lord as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And it's interesting, in Luke chapter 4, we read that Christ went out into the wilderness after he was baptized by John there in the Jordan. We see that Christ goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Quoting right there from Deuteronomy. And so we see that Christ went into the wilderness for 40 days. He ate no earthly food, but fed only on the word of God, with fellowship with his Father. As he was tempted by the devil for those 40 days, and he relied upon the Father for his provision and for his sustenance. Spiritual food, no earthly food, no physical food to eat, but he relied only upon the food of his Father, that is spiritual food, fellowshipping and relying upon his Father to sustain him, which he did. And we see that Christ did not sin as Israel did later on. And we see that in John chapter 4, as Christ was sitting with a woman at the well, we remember that his disciples come to him afterward and said, "You know, here, take something to eat." And Christ says, "My food is to do the will of the Father." And so we see that Christ fed for 40 days only on his Father's will, only on the sustenance from above, nothing to eat on earth. And so when the Jews point back to the manna, Christ says he is the true bread which came down from heaven. Back into John, which I've lost my place, of course, John chapter 6 and verse 32, we see that Christ, when they point to the manna, we see that Christ says that I am the true bread which came down from heaven. Verse 32. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And so Christ says, I am the real thing. We remember the pictures of the sacrifices and of the tabernacle, how they were pictures, but they were not the true thing, if you will. Remember in Hebrews, as it talks about the tabernacle, and it talks about the true tabernacle made without hands. And so we see that Christ is the same effect with the bread. We see that Christ says, I am the true bread. I am the real thing. I am the fulfillment of that picture. Not to say that the original manna was a fake, but Christ says, I am the fulfillment of that picture. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. And so we see that Christ says that I am the sustainer of life. I am the source of life. For Israel, the manna was a source of life. Every day they were sustained and they were given life by the hand of God as they ate the manna every day in the wilderness. Christ says, I am the true bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true source of life. And not just life that your fathers received in the wilderness as they ate the manna and then died of old age, as we see he continues on to say in verse 49, says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. And so Christ says, yet they were given life, but they died. Christ says, I am the true bread. I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will not die. Verse 50, this is the bread which came down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And so we see that Christ says, I am the fulfillment of that picture. I am the true bread which came down from heaven. Partake of me and live. And so we see that Christ is explaining to them these things. And we see that he explains to them that he is fulfilling this picture that has been given to them. I am the true bread. And so he is the giver of eternal life. And all those who partake of him receive everlasting life. They will not die. And so as for us as believers, we know that Christ is our source of life. We have partaken of the Son of God. We have partaken of him, and we have received eternal life. But we see that it doesn't stop there. As we mentioned before, we don't just partake one time and then never return, do we? That's not the picture we see of bread, is it? We see that the children of Israel, as they went out to the manna, they were sustained day by day by day by the Lord. Every morning they would go out and they would feed on this bread from heaven. Verse 56 of John chapter 6 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And so when we partake of Christ, we see that we abide with him, and he abides with us, and he is the sustainer of our spiritual life. He sustains us spiritually as we partake of him day by day and moment by moment, and we feed on his word, and we spend time with him in prayer. We flourish spiritually. He is our sustenance for life. He is our source of life. And we see, you know, Christ, he's trying to explain this to the Jews. He says, don't labor and spend all your time striving for the physical things of this world, striving for bread that you're going to eat and then be hungry again in just a matter of hours. He said, labor for the bread that lasts. Labor for the bread that fulfills. Verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. And so we see that Christ, he says to them, labor for the things that matter. Labor for the bread that fulfills. And so as we go through our spiritual life, are we seeking to feed upon Christ, the living bread? Are we feeding upon him daily? Or are we striving for the things that perish? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 and verses 2 and 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we see here in 1 Peter, he says that through Christ Jesus, our Lord, his divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need that relates to life and godliness, to live the Christian life, to grow spiritually, to run the race well. All things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through the knowledge of him. And so we have received all things pertaining to life and godliness in him. He is our source. He is our sustainer of life. And without him, we begin to wilt and to waste away spiritually. We cannot flourish and grow in this Christian life without feeding upon the bread of life, without feeding upon our Savior. But as is always the case, there is temptation and a spiritual battle that draws us away from Christ. And we see this, we see the same picture if we go back to the picture of the manna in Numbers chapter 11. For the sake of time, we won't turn back and read the whole portion. But we remember in Numbers chapter 11 that the children of Israel began to complain once again. And yet this time it was not because they were hungry. We read in Numbers chapter 11 that certain individuals in the camp began to give in to what the scripture says, intense cravings. And they began to crave for food that they didn't have. And they began to desire the foods of Egypt. They began to desire the leeks and the melons and the onions and all the things that they used to eat back in Egypt. And we read that it was an intense craving. It wasn't a hunger. It wasn't that they were going hungry. It was that they desired something that they couldn't get. And so we see that the children of Israel begin to complain, and they say, the only thing before us is this manna. And they're tired of it, and they want something different. And we read that the Lord gives it to them. He gives them quail to eat, and it says, while it was still between their teeth, a plague came upon them, and many of them died. But they yielded to temptation and a desire for something other than the Lord's provision, other than what the Lord had given them. And we see that they didn't, you know, they didn't rather say, thank you, Lord, for this manna. We can't wait until we get to the promised land flowing with milk and honey and all the wonderful blessings that you have promised to us. That wasn't their attitude. The children of Israel said, we are tired of this manna and we want what Egypt had. We desire the things of this world. And so we see that they yielded to temptations and intense cravings, and we see that they fell because of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see that Paul warns us of the examples that we have in Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6 says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And so we see that these things are given to us for an example. And as it always is the case in our spiritual life, we find ourselves tempted to seek after things other than Christ, to be drawn away and to feed on the things of this world because they look good and they smell good. And for a short amount of time, they may taste good. And we strive after the food of this world instead of feeding on the bread of life. And we find ourselves unsatisfied, and we find ourselves dealing with the consequences that we bring upon ourselves. And so there's always the temptation that we would lust after the things of this world. But we have these examples of the children of Israel who did the same thing, and we see what happened to them. And we see the consequences of their sin, and we see that they were not fulfilled. They were not satisfied with the results. We see that the only satisfaction, our only true fulfillment, is in Christ as we feed on the bread of life. And so we have these examples before us. And how often do we seek after the things of this world? We say to ourselves, well, if I was being fed with literal bread from heaven every morning, I wouldn't have stumbled like the children of Israel stumbled. I wouldn't have gone after the things of this world like the children of Israel went after the things of this world. However, we have the literal, complete Word of God always available to us, especially here in the United States. How many of us have not just one, but several Bibles scattered throughout our house? And yet, how often do we seek to feed on the Word of God, rather we take more time and more effort to go seek after the things of this world rather than taking the free bread of life that is right before us, the Word of God, and feeding on it and spending our time feeding on the bread of life. Far too often I find myself consumed with the things of this world and the desires of my flesh rather than feeding on the bread of life. And we see that it was no different for the children of Israel in Numbers. It was no different for the Israelites in John. And it is no different for us today. The things of this of the flesh, the things of this world will not satisfy. They do not lead to life, but to death. And so we should not chase after the things of this world, but seek after Christ. Feed upon the bread of life. You remember when we were younger, and you've probably heard grandparents and parents say this to you. You had a favorite food. Say you loved watermelons. And every time you had watermelon, you just cleaned the bowl out. You'd eat a whole watermelon by yourself. And your parents would say to you, boy, if you keep eating that watermelon, you're going to turn into one. Or you're going to start to look like a watermelon. Well, you know, kind of a silly expression. No matter how many times I eat a watermelon, I'm not going to turn into one. may start to look like one in shape, but I'm not going to turn into a watermelon. But with spiritual food, don't we? With spiritual food, the more we feed on Christ, the bread of life, the more we begin to resemble Him and the more we are conformed to His image. And yet, vice versa is also true. The more we consume the food of this world and the things of the flesh, we begin to look more like the world and we begin to act more like the flesh and less like Christ. And so when it comes to our spiritual food, you are what you eat. The more we feed on the bread of life, the more we begin to conform to the image of Christ and the more we begin to look like Him. And so let us feed on the bread of life and learn, as Paul instructs us in Corinthians, from the children of Israel and their failures. Learn from their mistakes and learn to feed on the bread of life as we seek out Christ and we feed on Him daily and seek Him with all our hearts and souls and minds. Fill ourselves with the Word of God, abiding in Christ, so that we may conform to His likeness. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You this evening for Your Word. We just thank You that You, for Your mercy and Your grace and Your love towards us. Lord, we just thank You for the bread of life that You have given to us. Lord, we just thank You for the eternal life, the salvation that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank You for the work that He did there at the cross for us. Lord, we pray that we would be those who seek to abide in You, who feed daily on the bread of life, who seek to feed upon You, feed upon Your Word, and to grow spiritually, to conform more to Your likeness. We just pray that we would seek You with all of our hearts, and we just thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.